The National Theatre of Brent presents All the World's a Globe, Episode 7. The death of Nelson, the reign of Queen Victoria, the American War of Independence, the reign of George III, the emaciation of women. Shouldn't it be the...
Read it.
Oh, all right. The Russian Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. Presented by Desmond Olivier Dingle and Wallace.
Meanwhile, the Napoleonic Wars had broken out and were begun by Napoleon, as the name implies. Then, meanwhile, the end of the Napoleonic Wars occurred at the Battle of Trafalgar Square, which was won, of course, by the Lord Admiral Nelson, famous for losing an eye and an arm and being killed at the same time.
Hardy?
Yes, Your Admiral, Lord Admiral Nelson?
Kiss me, please.
I beg your pardon?
Kiss me before I die.
Certainly.
You're all right, Wallace.
Sorry.
So tell me, how goes it with Napoleon?
Napoleon the Bonaparte?
Yes.
He is slain, my liege.
And the news from Waterloo?
All trains running normally.
Then it has not been in vain. Goodbye, Hardy.
Goodbye to the Lord High Rear Admiral, Saviour of the world!
The Empire was safe at last. But still in a state of turmoil.
For this reason, Queen Victoria ascended the throne at the age of 90 with her husband and consortium, Prince Albert Hall. Together with some of the greatest prime ministers known to man, her mighty legs bestraddle the peeping world like a colossus, bringing light to the starving and bread to them as grieve without redress. And the names of those men, her prime ministers, will be remembered, too, and honored for all time. Men who dedicated their whole lives and sacrificed all, often working late into the night to bring a ray of hope to their despairing fellows. Men like Robert Walpole, Pitt the Elder, Pitt the Younger, the Old Pretender, the Blue Boy, Dirk Bogarde, and Robinson Crusoe. Suddenly, however, the peace of the world was suddenly shattered by the American War of Independence. America, of course, was still being run by the British government at this time, so a number of people decided to start the famous American War of Independence. Now, I think it's very important to make it absolutely clear at this juncture that this had nothing to do with anything the British was doing wrong, obviously. I'm sure that American historians would be the first to admit that the British government ruled America very, very well indeed, but that the Americans just thought...
Well, we've been here 200 years now. We have our own accents, our own recipes, our own hobbies. Surely we can govern our own country.
Thank you, Wallace.
Thank you.
So, they sent off to King George III and said...
Could we run America now?
Now, I'm quite certain that under normal circumstances, King George III...
George III?
Yeah, would have been only too...
Who's King George III?
King of England, Wallace. Would have been only too happy...
I thought Queen Victoria was King of England.
She was, yeah.
So who's George III, then?
Sorry?
Who was George III?
He was... Well, they ruled at about the same time.
As each other?
Yeah, more or less.
I don't think that's actually quite technically accurate.
Look, just stick to your job and I'll stick to mine, all right, Mr. Barker? I think I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I did actually read history at Oxford.
Well done. Anyway...
Shall I continue to play the American people, Desmond?
Yes, please. Anyway, as I was saying... I'm quite certain that under normal circumstances, King George III, King of England, obviously...
As well as Queen Victoria.
Yeah, would have been only too delighted to accede to this request. But unfortunately, he had at this time a rather intimate ailment, which affects the personal areas, if you get my meaning, and then the brain, so that he was now talking to trees and sleeping with his horse. So he said...
No, absolutely out of the question.
I think George III was English, Wallace.
Oh, yeah, he will be, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Actually, he was German.
German?
And for this reason, sent the entire British army, the famed Redcoats, to the United States, where they had numerous battles, particularly the Boston Tea Party, the Gettysburg Address, and the Battle of the Bulge. The Confederates, however, or Yankee Doodles, as they was known, being more conversant with the terrain and not having the red coats, obviously, won.
A bit silly having the red coats, wasn't it, Desmond?
Yeah, it was a bit silly, yes, Wallace.
So why did they have the red coats, then?
They was more used to fighting in the...
Red Sea.
Yeah.
I get it.
Anyway, for this reason, America become independent and had the Declaration of Independence under George Washington.
So who is that, then?
Who?
George Washington.
George
the Fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, Wallace. Which meant that the Americans were now American and not British, but would always respect and admire Britain a great deal, and one day a year would always remember to give thanks to Britain for many years of wise and beneficial government.
This day would be called Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Industrial Revolution.
Suddenly, however, on November the 28th, 18th century, the Industrial Revolution began. And within days, factories and coal mines started going up all over Yorkshire. Immediately, tiny cuddly ponies were shipped down from the Shetlands to drag massively heavy iron barges full of granite rocks the entire length of the Manchester Ship Canal, while pathetically starving babies of 4 or 5 weeks with scurvy and malaria were forced up chimneys the second they were out of nappies, or dragooned into hauling huge railway trucks laden with massive ton weights of coal uphill for miles through pitch-black, airless, rat-infested winding tunnels prone to collapse at any minute. A tradition still carried on in many pits to this day.
Reasons behind the Industrial Revolution.
The reasons behind the Industrial Revolution was mainly all the numerous inventions that started being made by various inventors at this time, such as Crompton's Mule by James Arkwright and Arkwright's Mule by James Crompton.
Before the Industrial Revolution.
Before the Industrial Revolution, virtually the whole country lived in the country, generally in Dorset.
After the Industrial Revolution.
After the Industrial Revolution, as soon as word reached Queen Victoria and the government's ears about all the babies and ponies being shoved up chimneys, they immediately commenced doing numerous reforms, particularly in regarding the vote.
The emaciation of women.
This period was also very important for emaciating women. The leader of the women in their struggle for emaciation was the famous majorette Mrs. Pankhurst, who chained herself to Buckingham Palace and committed numerous other atrocities on herself to bring the plight of women to the attention of the Queen, who was a woman after all, but who had unfortunately gone berserk, owing to Albert having died, and ordered Mrs. Pankhurst lashed to two sets of frenzied stallions galloping in opposite directions. This is known as the birth of feminism. And speaking as a feminist, I would like to say that I believe that women still deserve full emaciation, and I, along with many other women, will not rest until this day has been achieved.
I've never seen you as particularly feminine, Desmond.
No.
Oh, yes, no, I suppose you are.
No, Wallace...
Yes, I suppose the walk's feminine.
What are you talking about, my walk?
No, I see what you mean, Desmond.
No, look, I didn't say I was a feminine person, Wallace. I said a feminist person.
Oh.
In other words, what I'm saying is that it is perfectly possible for the more rugged and masculine type of man, such as myself, obviously, to be deeply sympathetic to the feminist cause without losing any of the quintessential maleness of his fundamental masculinity, obviously, as I'm sure many young ladies would testify with regard to myself, as it happens.
What are you talking about, young ladies, Desmond?
Exactly. And now Wallace will demonstrate the 1892 Parsons radial flow steam turbine engine.
Pardon?
Which was, of course, one of the first radial flow steam engines in the world, wasn't it, Wallace?
Yes.
Whenever you're ready, Wallace.
The 1892 Parsons radial flow steam turbine engine. Instructions for use. The steam enters through a double governor valve and then flows radially from the centre of the circumference of 6 wheels arranged in series with concentric rows of blading, alternating with fixed rows on the diaphragm.
Well, I think we get the point, actually. Thank you, Wallace.
I think it's important, the details, yes, Desmond.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the nuts and bolts of it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, very good, Wallace. Meanwhile, many British explorers...
Yeah.
We're discovering large areas of the known world. In particular, Dr. Livingstone, who discovered Africa. And Dr. Stanley, who discovered Dr. Livingstone. Excuse me?
Yes, can I help you?
I am Dr. Livingstone.
Dr. Livingstone?
Yes.
Then Dr. Livingstone, I presume.
I am. And you would be?
Dr. Stanley.
Then Dr. Stanley, I presume.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, in Russia,
turmoil was afoot, with the Tsar Nicholas I and his wife, Zaza, coming under the sinister influence of the infamous and horribly bearded Orthodox monk, Rasputin. Portrayed, of course, by Tom Baker in the famous film Fanny and Alexander, and loved by kiddies across the world as Doctor Who. For this reason, the Russian peasants decided to hold the Russian Revolution, which is hardly surprising.
Excuse me, Your Highness.
Yes?
Rasputin is here, Your Highness.
Not the infamous Orthodox monk rumored to be my wife's lover?
Yes.
Show him in then, footman.
Certainly. Hello?
Hello, Rasputin. Now look, would you mind closing the door, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. Now look, regarding the situation about my wife, I think you should know she's a married woman.
I haven't come about your wife.
Oh, sorry.
I have bad news concerning the peoples of Russia.
What, the whole USSR?
Yes, the whole United States of... States of Russia.
What?
I'm afraid they're having a revolution.
You mean, like, the French Revolution?
Yes, except he's Russian.
Oh, no.
Look!
What should we do?
You could talk to them, Your Highness.
Good idea. Oh, excuse me.
How did it go down?
Reasonably well, though I think negotiations have a fair way to go, possibly.
This is no time for negotiations. There is only one answer.
Oh, no. It is my belief that Rasputin has shot himself. Footman!
Hello?
Sorry, close the door, would you please?
Certainly.
Thank you. It is my belief that Rasputin has shot himself.
I am not actually the footman. I am your wife.
You look very similar to the footman.
Yes, we do look very similar, but I am in fact your wife.
Zaza.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
It is a well-known introductory phrase.
Oh, how do you do?
Yes.
How do you do?
How do you do? Anyway, it is my belief that Rasputin has shot himself.
Ah! Rasputin has shot himself!
Footman?
Yes, Your Highness?
You're not my wife.
No, I'm the footman. Besides, your wife has just shot herself.
Exactly. Anyway, what is your opinion of the Russian Revolution at this stage?
Well, as you know...
Yes?
Whilst I'm still enormously loyal to yourself and the House of Fraser, obviously, I'm afraid I'll have to shoot you like the dog that you are.
Fair enough.
Come, my colleagues! Tyranny is no more! Let us storm the Winter Gardens and start communism off immediately!
Communism?
Communism!
Hooray!
That was All the World's a Globe, starring Desmond Olivier Dingle and Wallace. Patrick Barlow's book of the same name was adapted for radio by the author, with additional material by Jim Broadbent and Martin Duncan. The National Theatre of Brent would like to thank Patrick Barlow, Jim Broadbent, myself, Peter Barker, and the producer, Lisa Evans.